In British Columbia, the trial of Robert Willie Picton is underway. Picton is a pig farmer arrested 5 years ago after dozens of women disappeared from Vancouver's Skid Row. Human remains were found on his farm. Picton has been charged with killing 26 women, but as NPR's Martin Costi reports, investigators think he may have killed twice that number.
The Picton trial is more than a month old, and yet it's only barely begun. The judge says proceedings may last a whole year. It's a huge case. Investigators have cataloged 600,000 exhibits, most of that from the archaeological dig the police set up on Picton's farm. Tens of millions of dollars have gone toward DNA testing alone. And this trial addresses only 6 of the 26 murder charges against him. More trials are possible. Inside the high-security courtroom, prosecutors are methodically laying out their case, dwelling on gruesome minutiae, such as the pattern of saw marks on human skulls found at the farm. Picton sits impassively behind bulletproof glass. His back is to the gallery, so victims' family members end up staring at his long, stringy hair, which he wears slicked back to the collar. In the first week, the gallery was packed, but now it's half empty. Wayne Lang says he's not surprised.
I don't constantly think about this anymore because I would go crazy if I did.
Lang was friends with Sarah DeVries, one of Picton's alleged victims.
I mean, for too long after Sarah disappeared, you know, I lived it like 24 hours a day. I spent the next year and a half living on my savings, searching to try to find out what had happened for Sarah.
And Lang wasn't the only one looking. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, friends and family were searching Vancouver for dozens of missing women. And the common thread in all those cases was this neighborhood, Vancouver's downtown east side. Anne Livingston knows this neighborhood well. She runs a nonprofit here called the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users. Standing in the doorway of her organization, she says the heroin and crack trades dominate this stretch of East Hastings Street.
If we looked enough like we might be chippers that did a little drugs on the weekend, we would be asked if we wanted to buy some drugs. We're shot.
Livingston is interrupted by a woman who comes to the door asking for free rigs, slang for syringes.
Do you need some rigs? Okay.
Sorry,
right. Livingston's organization hands out clean syringes to help addicts avoid getting HIV from dirty needles. This woman, Rosie Rucka, takes a whole box. She fits the profile of the 60 or so women who've disappeared from this area in recent years. She's an addict, and she sold sex to pay for drugs. But now she says she won't pick up dates anymore, not since she heard about Picton.
I think about it all the time. Like, I'm scared to be out there. I'll do anything but be on the do that for money now.
Mainly because of what happened.
It's scary, man. He freaking fed those girls to the pigs, man. Ooh, it's harsh.
After Rucka leaves with her box of syringes, Livingston says she doubts women here are any safer now than they were before the Picton arrest, especially those walking the streets at night.
There are hundreds of women out tonight selling sex that have nowhere to go pee, nowhere to get warm. We do not have so much as a drop-in center. And yet, Canada spends $70 million on DNA evidence. I think that's insane.
Some family members of missing women have also expressed frustration at the scale and cost of the Picton case. Lynn Frey is the stepmother of Marnie Frey, one of the 6 women Picton is charged with killing in this first trial.
He's not only torturing us by what he's done, but he's also torturing society.
Frey acknowledges that Picton has pleaded not guilty and has a right to a defense. And ultimately, she says, the trial will be worth it if it reminds Canadians that the disappeared women were human beings who were loved and are missed. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.